This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from Tantalk Radio Network Studio in glorious Clearwater, Florida. The perfect place for writers to write and readers to enjoy a good book. Now, this half hour is brought to you by Larson & Larson. They are my intellectual property lawyers, and they should be yours. And Bill Larson will be here in the studio in 2 weeks. So if you have a question for him about intellectual property, about how to protect your rights, and how to ensure that your copyrights are in order, just send me an email at patsy.radio@gmail.com, and I will answer the questions along with Bill when he comes in. And you have to always remember, as an author, your most valuable commodity is what you have written down. And so it is very important that you protect your rights. And Bill is always so interesting. He also will bring us in some interesting cases. As you know from some of my interviews, some of the very, very famous authors that I have interviewed over the years, including Clive Cussler, who faced a $10 million lawsuit, it is always something that can happen to you. And especially if you are sending out your work, I know many of you are working on, you're trying to work on versions of your book and turning them into scripts. But before you do that, before you ever send out a script to Hollywood, please, please talk to Bill Larson and make sure that you do everything right, because it is so dangerous. Once you send something out, you can lose complete control of it unless you are protected. So I was talking recently to a writer, and I know you know who I'm talking about out there, because I know you're very enthusiastic, and I know I sort of put a little downer on you when you were already printing out your scripts and ready to send them to Hollywood, and I told you not to do it, because you have to remember something in Hollywood. Everybody in Hollywood is looking for ideas, and they will, and I'm talking the kid in the mailroom wants to someday be a director or a producer. And so ideas get stolen very easily in Hollywood. It's very hard to overcome them once your story is out there, and your storyline even. So you have to really think about taking a step back and doing things the proper way, especially if you don't have an agent. If you are an indie author and your book is selling nicely and you're very proud of it and you think it's going to make a great movie, and you either send the book or you actually sit down and write a screenplay based on your book and then you send it to Hollywood, I can assure you, you will probably not be successful. That's not the way to go about dealing with Hollywood. You have to be very careful. So I hope that if you have any questions about that, you will contact me at patsy.radio@gmail.com. And let's talk it over when Bill Larson comes here into the studio. Now, of course, it is a glorious day here in Florida. This is the type of weather we are having now, all this 80-degree weather that is so beautiful. And it is the time to read a good book. And I wanted to mention a book that I'm sorry I had, the author has been on the program, and I meant to talk more about this book again, but I want to tell you about it again, because it is a nice book to give as a gift for a teenager, probably a teenage girl, although I think any mom of a teenager would really appreciate this book. And here's the book. It's called Surf Shop Sisters, and it's about a 17-year-old girl named Brooke Bentley and her three BFFs. And this is an award-winning book by local author Laura Kennedy. It takes place right here in Florida's West Coast, which I always love. And it is a story about teenagers, and I admire Laura so much for really getting into the mind of a teenager, which I suppose in itself is a bit scary. But the book captures all that teenage angst, and there's a lot of twists and turns in it. There's romance, there's mystery. But the most important thing is there are also the lessons that are learned in this book. And it's a story about loyalty and about doing the right thing and stepping up to the plate. And it's a really wonderful little book for all teenage girls, particularly, and as I said, their moms. And it's called Surf Shop Sisters by Laura Kennedy. And it's available on Amazon. And Laura has a bunch of other nice books there too, but this one I think is just a fun, pleasant read, gets you out of everything, and it's just one of those books that I think girls will appreciate. Now, I also want to remind everyone that I've been talking about books that you should read maybe at Thanksgiving time, and I'm going to be talking about books that you should give as gifts. Now, one of the books, of course, I mention it again, Doug Abrams was on the program, and he wrote a book called The Book of Joy, along with the Dalai Lama and Archbishop Tutu. So that is a wonderful book for Thanksgiving. If you haven't gotten it yet, you still have time to order it and have it there at the dinner table with you for Thanksgiving. And then another book I would like to recommend, and people are always saying, what's a good book to give as a gift? And if you want a gift for somebody who is over 50, and certainly any woman, there is a really nice book that I have really enjoyed. And it's a book that you can pick up and reread because it's full of interesting stories. And it is about Debbie Reynolds. Now, as you all recall, Debbie Reynolds passed away last December 28th, I think. And I was very honored that the week before she passed away, she actually taped a message here at the studio to wish all of my listeners a happy new year. Now, I never played that because things just, with her death and everything, I never played it. But it's very, it was very heartfelt. And as those of you who know, I wrote a film for Debbie Reynolds, which unfortunately was never produced because of the 2008 collapse in the financial market. And just before production, we lost all our money. But I recommend this book because it is full of wonderful stories. And I want to play part of the interview I had with her co-author, a wonderful author herself named Dorian Hannaway, and she sat down with Debbie, and so here's a part of the interview.
Good morning, good morning. It's great to stay up late. Good morning to you.
Good morning, Dorian Hannaway.
Good morning. How are you today, Patrick?
Oh, well, great. It's so wonderful, and of course that song tells us what this book is all about. It's just wonderful. I am so excited to have you on because I have been singing that song to my children.
Oh.
Actually, my mother sang it to me.
And
every morning, there are very few mornings that I don't wake up singing that song.
Oh, terrific. It's a great song.
It is a great song. And I'm so excited to have you on today to talk about Debbie Reynolds, of course, and your friendship with her, and how you came out to write these books about her. The new book is
Make 'em Laugh.
Make 'em Laugh. And that's
Short-term memories of longtime friends.
And she has made so many people laugh, but you had already done one book with her before.
That's correct. We did Unsinkable in 2013.
And I love that book.
I did too.
The new book, you capture her personality and capture her stories in such a, unique and fun way, with all of the stresses and strains that everybody's been going through over the past year. So I think it is just a wonderful book for people to read, just to relax you, to put you in a different frame of mind, because she was born on April 1st.
Right.
Wow. She probably had people teasing her all her life about that.
She's heard every joke that there is about April 1st, I think.
Well, you've written this book in such a nice way. One feels that one is sitting there with you, the two of you.
Well, I was very fortunate when it's so important as a writer to, when you're collaborating with someone, to write in their voice. And I'm very fortunate to have been friendly with Debbie since 1981. We met in 1981. My first writing job with her was doing an act, which she was doing at the MGM Theater in Las Vegas. She did an impression of an entertainer named Madam, Waylon Flowers and Madam. And I was Madam's manager at the time, and Waylon suggested that I write for Debbie. And it was amazing. It was a wonderful experience. She taught me really how to be a writer. Before that, I was just funny. And I was, you know, writing jokes and things like that, but I didn't know structure. And she's the one who really taught me from her knowledge as a graduate of the MGM studio system, where they had to learn everything. And script was very important to her. So I was very fortunate to have come up with her for many years. So the highest compliment for these books is that people say it sounds like you're having a conversation with her, which I did have many conversations with her, but when you sit down to write 80,000 words, a lot of them are mine. Okay.
I forgot, you know, that you guys weren't in the room with me. I'm sitting there drinking my coffee and just listening in.
It's wonderful. That's a high compliment. Thank you.
After the Unsinkable book, which I thought was just marvelous. So she wanted to sort of catch up on some of the stories that she hadn't told before.
Right. A lot of people said, well, why didn't you talk about this? And why didn't you talk about that? And Unsinkable was very specific in that it began at where her first memoir ended. She did a memoir in 1984 with David Patrick Columbia, which was the story of her, you know, her early life and her first two marriages. And she ended it on a high note with her third husband, who she touted as her soulmate and gentle and wonderful and all that. And by the time we got around to writing Unsinkable, he had stolen everything she had. So it was a whole different... She did not want to leave on that note. So Unsinkable was a way to tell the story from that point of view. And also, she hadn't really talked a lot about her films in her first memoir. So I felt... As of someone who loves her films and someone who loves film, I feel it's important to get the artist's perspective on their, you know, what the filmmaking process was. So we did the second half of the book. We just went through her body of work, and she talked about every single movie. Some movies she didn't even remember being in, because at MGM she said some days you'd show up, they'd put you in hair and makeup, and you would go do what they said, which could be standing having a Coke with Vic Damone in a movie that was not anything that she was really in. It was just a cameo. So I'd say, well, you were listed in this movie. And she'd go, oh, I didn't remember that. So sometimes she snuck in, and sometimes she was the star, which was the great thing about the studio system. And she was very fortunate to be in that last wave of really big musicals that came out of MGM.
Even now, when every time I sort of shiver every time I think of Singing in the Rain. It is...
Oh, it's the best.
It just puts a smile on your face.
Right. It's certainly... I mean, and she was only 19. She was 18 when she got the part, 19 when she made the movie, and 20 when it was released. So that was a really important time for her, because she just had done two movies at MGM, and her third was at Singing in the Rain, and it was such an important film for her. And also, it was Gene Kelly's, you know, real, you know, debut as a director on his own. I mean, he had directed American in Paris, and he had worked, you know, and gotten great acclaim for that. But this was really something he was very vested in, and here she was with no real dancing experience. And it was a tough, I asked her, I said, how did you get through this? She said, I knew it would either finish me off, or I would get through it, and I wasn't about to let it kill me, and it just about did. But she worked so hard, and you would never know looking at that movie. I mean, if you really deconstruct it, there are some, like in the Good Morning number, there are some scenes where they put her up on a stool or put her someplace and dance around her, which is, you know, a device so she doesn't have to do all the things. But she was step for step with both of those really experienced dancers, with Donald and with Gene Kelly.
Those two, just by themselves, were such amazing dancers. And
so extraordinary.
And as you say, she just blends in so seamlessly.
Right. Well, Gene Kelly was very cognizant of playing to everyone's strengths. And he was a really great director, even though she worked tirelessly with three other choreographers all day long. I mean, she really, you know, she worked very, very hard. And it was, I mean, that Charleston number, the, you know, all I do the whole day through is dream of you, that number really played to her athleticism, and the Charleston number was very athletic. And that was something that really was a nice showcase for her. And the other ones, you know, You Were Meant for Me with Gene Kelly was a very romantic number and very, very different in tone from the rest of them. So she had a lot of work to do in very different areas, but those tap numbers are killers.
Well, it's still hard to believe that she just went into it at such a young age.
When you know her, you know that nothing ever stops her. I mean, she has met every challenge in her life with grace and hard work.
After Singing in the Rain, of course, she was a star. I mean, it was like an instant star.
That was a movie that really made her a star. And she said when she went to the premiere with Robert Wagner as her date, she said when she saw her name on the screen, she thought she had arrived at that moment. Shortly after, she was 20, I think she was 22, when she met Eddie Fisher. So that began a whole new chapter in addition to her filmmaking. That really began her celebrity.
Which ones did she like of those movies that she made during that time?
Well, Molly Brown is her favorite. I mean, that was that movie she said captures her personality more than any. I mean, that's her. That really is Debbie. I mean, the unthinkable character who just, you know, keeps fighting, keeps going on, doesn't care if her clothes are ripped or she has a pie in the face. That's her. I mean, she really is that woman. And she's gracious, and I think that's her favorite movie. And she loves them all. I mean, she loved working with Albert Brooks and Mother. I mean, that was something that was really an extraordinary performance.
When you were talking to her about all these films, sometimes it must have been difficult for her to think of all of the people that she's worked with.
It's funny, we screened What's the Matter with Helen, which was, I just thought of Shelley Winters trying to kill her in that movie. And she literally, because Shelley was so off her nuts sometimes and such a method actress, she had the prop people hide all the real knives because she was really afraid that Shelley would stab her to death, you know, just as part of the acting. But as we were watching it, she goes, you know, Dennis Weaver was a really good kisser. And I was like, really? And she said, yeah. She said, I wasn't getting any love at home at that time. She said, so I was really happy to do those scenes, which was cute. She said, he had a lovely wife, and we never got any further than that. But she said, but I really enjoyed that. She also said Frank Sinatra was a great kisser. Frank Sinatra and she did The Tender Trap. At the time, she was engaged to Eddie, and Mr. Sinatra tried to talk her out of marrying Eddie Fisher because he was a crooner. And she said, he'll never be faithful, he'll never be, you know, he'll break your heart. And she was determined to marry him, but she, you know, she remembered his words much later on.
You know, the movie with Shelley Winters, you're right, there was something sort of demonic about Shelley Winters in the
right.
movie.
Right, well, Shelley was method. I mean, she was the Strasberg, you know, method actress. And she, you know, and that scared Debbie because she was really hardcore when she was in that part, and she was living it. And some actresses and actors do that. I mean, they go into character for the length of the film, and that's their process, which is, you know, we must respect, but not when there's a knife in their hand. You know, it was just something that really, you know, she said this could be tragic, so she made them hide the real sharp objects around Shelley.
That's funny. I'm going to play a song, one of my favorite songs. it's the kind of song when you get it in your head, you can't get it out of your head. But everybody will recognize this.
Okay.
I hear the cottonwoods whispering above. Tammy, Tammy, Tammy's in love. The old hootie owl, hootie hoo.
Oh, I love that song. But as I said, once I get it in my head, I'll be singing it for weeks now. The name of the book is Make 'em Laugh, Short-Term Memories of Longtime Friends, and it was written by Dorian Hannaway with her good friend Debbie Reynolds. And I think it's a wonderful gift that you could give someone. There are so many interesting stories in there because, of course, Debbie Reynolds knew them all, and I love particularly her stories about Lucille Ball and her very good friend Carol Burnett, and there are stories about all the Hollywood stars of the time, and you will really enjoy the book yourself. It's, as I said, I can pick it up every once in a while and just read the stories again. And when I'm watching an old television show, I like to look at this book, and it's a perfect gift. So I would recommend it, and it's called Make 'em Laugh, and Debbie Reynolds certainly did that. And it's hard to believe that it's almost a year since she passed away. Now, one of the things that I also, as I said, it's always so wonderful for me to be able to bring back to you books that, you know, an author writes a book and you have this short window of opportunity when the book comes out to promote it. And then after that, it's basically forgotten unless somehow you get back in front of the public. And so that's why I enjoy bringing back authors whose books you might not have heard about for a year or 2 years or many years. And I have several interesting authors who are going to be coming up in January who actually were very surprised when I contacted them because they thought they were forgotten. And it's always wonderful if I can help an author come back sort of to life, because that's what an author wants. An author wants to be able to sell their books and to have the opportunity to talk about their books and to tell you why it's worth getting. So I'm working on that. I'm also working on a first 2 weeks of December. We're going to be talking about children's books, the books that you should buy for kids for Christmas and Hanukkah and all the other holidays. And I'm going to really enjoy having particularly quite a few of the local authors of children's books here in the studio. Now, before we go to commercial, we're going to have one book buzz, another wonderful Rita Moreau book buzz.
This is Rita Moreau reporting for Joy on Paper with Book Buzz. Fans of cozy whodunits and lighthouses, here is the buzz for a cozy that has been on the top of the charts, The Lighthouse Keeper by Cynthia Ellenson. Dawn Connor's parents are famous for finding historic treasures, but she has a knack for losing things, her job, her boyfriend, and now her reputation. Thanks to a mud-slinging exposé, Dawn's late great-grandfather is assumed guilty of stealing silver from a century-old shipwreck. Hoping to clear his name, Dawn returns to Starlight Cove, her hometown on Lake Michigan, where the doomed vessel sleeps beneath the beam of a ramshackle lighthouse. Her plan, remodel and sell the lighthouse while untangling the perplexing family mystery. Neither task is easy, especially once her well-meaning parents and the quirky locals, including nautical researcher and Starlight Cove's most eligible bachelor, Kip Whitaker, get involved. As she pieces together the truth, Dawn's once-shattered heart opens up. As if she's willing, the lighthouse might guide her to a place she never expected to find, where the past entwines with a bright new beginning. Cozy fans, grab a chair with a view of a lighthouse and sit down today with The Lighthouse Keeper by Cynthia Ellenson, a mystery of the past and the present. This is Rita Moreau reporting for Joy on Paper. For more of my suggestions on the mysteries you should not miss, go to our webpage, www.radio-joyonpaper.com, and click on Book Buzz. That's radio-joy on paper. Rita Moreau, buzzing off for now.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you an author, an artist, an inventor? Then you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. You need Larson & Larson. We have the experience and knowledge to help you with all of your legal needs, from processing trademark, copyright, or patent applications, to negotiating licensing agreements and handling litigation. The attorneys at Larson & Larson in Largo, Florida, can help protect you. Call us today for a no-cost consultation at 727-546-0660 or visit our website at larsonpatentlaw.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, inventor of MyPillow. My employees and I would like to thank you for making MyPillow possible. Years ago, when I invented MyPillow, I thought I was the only one out there with problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I'd flip-flop all night or wake up with a sore neck or headache. So that's why I invented MyPillow. You can adjust MyPillow's patented fill to your exact individual needs to help you get to sleep faster and stay there longer to get the quality sleep you need. I back it with my 10-year warranty and my 60-day money-back guarantee. And now to thank you, I'm bringing back my best offer ever. Buy one of my MyPillows and get another one absolutely free.
Support Joy on Paper and local authors. Go to MyPillow.com and use promo code PATSY. P-A-T-Z-I.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Patsy with a Z, and I am back. And I just wanted to remind everyone to check out my Facebook page, Radio Joy on Paper. I'd like to hear from you. I'd love to know if you have a favorite author that you want me to invite on. And also, I want to know if there is a particular book that has changed your life. And if you let me know and if I get the author on, perhaps you could call in and talk to the author right here online. And also, if you have suggestions of books that you want me to read that I haven't read, although I don't know, I'm reading so much, it's unbelievable, but I would love to hear from you. So go to Facebook, it's Radio Joy on Paper, and friend me, and then also follow me on Twitter, and I'm trying to keep up with Twitter. Again, as I said, this Hurricane Irma, we were very lucky we weren't completely devastated. But it sent me into a loop, and I'm still trying to catch up with everything. Now, I'm just waiting for David Baldacci to call in from New York because his newest book, Endgame, was just released on Tuesday, which is always very exciting. And so I'm looking forward to talking to him. As all of you know, he's been on the program quite a few times already. I really enjoyed talking to him about his different books. He was on, I think the last time was we were talking about his Amos Decker series, which I thought the last book, which is called The Fix, was one of his very, very best books. That is an exciting book. And I love the character Amos Decker, who is a fascinating character that David has developed, a man who can forget anything. And so I really enjoy that series. And then, of course, he was also on in the summertime. He was on and we were talking about his books for young adults. It was called The Width of the World, I think. Yeah, The Width of the World. And it features a young protagonist, Vega Jane. And it's a really great book for teenagers. So David, of course, is multi-talented, and he can go from one series to another, and it's always exciting to talk to him. So I'm looking forward to when he calls in here, and we'll talk about the new book, Endgame. Yeah, of course, I think I mentioned it during the last interview. His very first novel was a big hit. It was called Absolute Power, and that's back in 1996. And that was made into a film, really one of my favorite action films with Clint Eastwood. It was a wonderful film, and the book is fantastic. And since then, I think he's written 34 novels and six of these young adult books for sci-fi type based books. Very interesting. And he is now translated into 45 languages. And I think, he has 150 million books sold out there. So it's always interesting to see how in a very short period of time, really, when you think 1996 and it's 2017, he's done pretty well for himself. And the wonderful thing about him is he's very generous, and he has, we're going to talk a little bit about his philanthropy, because he believes so much in encouraging people to read, which is what I do all the time. And as I mentioned the other day, they have discovered that reading just a few minutes a day can help your mind. So imagine how much your mind will be helped if you actually sit down for an hour, turn off the television. I know it's hard for people to turn off the television, so just turn the sound down. There's something, we're living in this age where we just need this visual of in the background of the television going on, but turn off the sound and read a book, because the book is so much better for your mind. There is a, you know, you can watch NCIS or what are some of the series that people watch over and over, Law and Order, over and over and over again, but it really doesn't help your mind. It doesn't help all those little gray cells. So if you want to keep your mind active and sort of avoid all of the problems of they say actually all people, it helps you avoid Alzheimer's. So we don't know for sure. Some scientists are saying so. And I think, what the heck? Why not? So read an hour a day. Take, you know, I suppose in the olden days, people read. It was wonderful when I talked to Lee Childs, and he was talking about how in England, and I lived in England, we had only three television stations at the time that I lived there, and they didn't come on until noon. So we had no morning television in England. So what did people do? They read books. It was really great. And so you can do the same thing almost. All you have to do is turn the sound down and read a book and help your mind. So as I'm waiting here for David Baldacci to come on, I want to also remind you can support Joy on Paper. Please just go to mypillow.com and use the promo code PATZI, Patsy, that's me. And it helps Joy on Paper, and I can then help support local authors here in the area and indie authors and give them a platform so that they can tell you about the books that they have written. So I hope that you will just go to mypillow.com, use a promo code PATZI, P-A-T-Z-I, for a buy one, get one free pillow. And Thanksgiving is coming up, and you have guests over. You need to have nice pillows for them. And, of course, it makes ideal gifts for Christmas. So go out there and order some pillows at mypillow.com. And I think that I will have David Baldacci on in a few minutes, which is always exciting. You know, the book came out on Tuesday, and I know he's excited always with the release dates. Hi, this is Patsy. How are you?
I'm Patsy. I'm fine. How are you doing?
Okay. Well, David, it's so good to talk to you again. You know, I've been so thrilled. Last time we talked, I think it was about The Fix, which I love. That book was so exciting. As I told you at the time I spoke to you, that first chapter was amazing. And now the new book is called Endgame. And we're talking first chapters. This is one heck of a first chapter.
Thank you. I try to hit the ground running, as you know.
Oh, you certainly do. you hit the ground running, and a lot of people hit the ground. Let's put it that way. there is some action. You know, my husband says that one of the best things about me doing this program is that he gets to read all these books in advance, all his favorite authors. And so I was opening a package one morning at breakfast time. I opened it up, and all he saw was just the top of it. He saw David Baldacci. He grabbed that package so fast. He said, I'll read it first. So he got to read it first, and he doesn't read quite as fast as I do. And so I'm like, okay, you know, but he said this first chapter, boom, 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 bang, bang, bang. You had fun with this first chapter.
I did. I really did. I wanted to set the mood and tone with this. It's going to be a page turner and show Roby and his mission in London, and then Riel and her mission in the Middle East. And I wanted people to see what these people could do. And I think I did.
Oh, you did it. You did it. I tell you, it was. And talk about page turner. My husband, I think he like devoted, you know, he just didn't do anything else. He was reading the book. Okay, I didn't give him any honey-do lists because he was reading the book. I couldn't bother him. So all I could do is provide him with coffee and cookies, and he kept reading. And tell us about the series. This the Will Roby series is fascinating, and tell all of the listeners who don't know about it something about the character, and also about Jessica Riel. Because the two characters, Will Roby and Jessica Riel, are fascinating.
They are. They're kind of like bookends. And, you know, Roby and Riel are two government assassins. They work for an intelligence agency in the U.S. They're sent around the world to hotspots on missions to protect the interests of the United States and our allies. And so in the opening chapter, you see Roby in London. He's trying to stop a terrorist attack there, going into a house with a lot of people in there who want to kill him and coming out alive. And Jessica Riel is in the Middle East. She's supporting a combat mission in the Middle East with the American military forces. She survives a horrific situation, comes back with a lot of guilt and a lot of baggage because of it. And they hit the United States, and they're told that Blue Man, who is their confidant and handler and one of their best friends, he has vanished from the face of the earth in eastern Colorado, which is where he was from. They're on vacation. So they have to, again, be deployed, but not on a typical mission. They have to go to Colorado and play detective and try to find out what happened to him.
And things get wild from there too. Now, I have a feeling you had. Do you have some fun? I think that some military people bring you in on some of these weapons and things because you have a lot of details about weapons, and it certainly sounds fascinating.
Yeah, I've done some sniper rifle stuff in military bases in America, and fire the rifles the Army uses, and they're incredible devices. But people think, well, you just point the gun and shoot it. But really, you have to be part physicist, meteorologist, biologist, everything else in order to fire these weapons effectively, because you're firing at targets really you can't see with the naked eye. And I thought it was fascinating. I've spent a little time showing how Jessica Riel went about her job as being a sniper, and it just shows the level of skill you need and the level of concentration, and it was fascinating for me, and hopefully it'll be fascinating for the readers to learn a little bit about that.
Oh, I think so. I really love that section there with Jessica, and there were things that you wrote in there that I had never thought about, and so it was really fascinating to get into sort of that mindset that they have to get into.
Yeah, it really is a matter of life and death, and not just for her, but she has a team to support, too. So if she messes up, if she misses her target, if she doesn't do her job, other people are going to be impacted by that. So it's a lot riding on her shoulders.
Well, as always, as I said, all of your books are always exciting. We sort of get into your characters, I think that you also have a depth in your characters that makes... That's why we want to know what's happening to them and to follow them along. And that's why, like, my husband grabbed the book because he already knows the characters. He wants to know more, you know?
Absolutely. It's great to see the characters come back in different stories and see them evolve and grow as characters. Different things happen to them. And they move on just like we all do in life. And I think people love to sort of see that. I certainly do when I read books written by other authors who have recurring characters. It's like coming back to an old friend.
Exactly. I had Lee Child on last week, and we were talking about Jack Reacher, and the same thing, that people know him, and they just want to get back into the books as soon as a book comes out. And I think you've certainly accomplished that with Roby and Real, and of course, Amos Decker. I love Amos Decker.
He'll be back in the next book. I just finished the latest Amos Decker. It's called The Fall, and will be out in the spring of next year. I love him too. He's a really interesting character to me. I love writing about him, and I look forward to having him back next year.
So when you've got these characters in your head all the time, so when you're working on one series, you put away the other series mentally?
Yeah, for the most part I do. I try to compartmentalize, otherwise you get the streams crossed. Like in Ghostbusters, we learned that it was very, very bad to have the streams crossed, so I try to keep the characters separate. But when I'm writing about the characters, I really totally immerse myself back into who they are and what they're about.
And then you find your inner child and work on Vega Jane in between everything else.
Right. Well, I finished Amos Decker, so I'm back to working on Vega Jane right now. So I'm out of the real world, back in the world of fantasy.
Well, I was introduced to the Vega Jane books by a girl in Sunday school, and she's not supposed to be carrying other books into. Let's put it this way: she's coming to Sunday school. She's not supposed to be carrying books into. But there she is, Vega Jane. We will put that aside, won't we, for a few hours. I think it was hard for her. That's the first time, because I was not aware, that's going back, back to the first book, that I was not aware that you were writing, Vega Jane books. And so it was so funny when I discovered it, I said, well, Baldacci, because I thought that was amazing. So, you are just so versatile. And the wonderful thing is, and I can't let you go without talking, first of all, I'm telling everybody, okay, they just have to buy the new book, Endgame, by David Baldacci, and they will have an absolutely wonderful, wonderful thriller to read if it lasts them through. Thanksgiving weekend is a perfect time to sit down and read the book, I think. So we're promoting Endgame, but I also have to make sure that I talk to you about something exciting that's happening on March 25th. And what is that? Not March, I'm November 25th, my goodness.
Oh, right. Yeah, the Hallmark Hall of Fame channel, The Christmas Train, is coming out. Hallmark filmed The Christmas Train, and it's got a great cast: Danny Glover, Joan Cusack, Dermot Mulroney, Kimberly Williams-Paisley. They're all feature film actors, and they filmed it in Vancouver. I've seen the network cut of it. It's a beautiful film, has a great ending, a lot of fun. And I'm probably one of the few thriller writers that has a film on the Hallmark Hall of Fame channel. So again, I guess it shows my versatility, but it's a really fun film, and it comes out on Saturday after Thanksgiving, and everybody's really excited about it.
Oh, and it's going to be, I'm sure it's going to be great. And as I said, it's funny that I said March 25th, because for me, March 25th is a blizzard day. And I have that in my head, so I'm thinking about Christmas. The Christmas Train, of course, your book was very successful, and it is a wonderful book. And I think it's so thrilling that they have turned it into a film. And I know that everyone will really, again, it's a wonderful thing to be doing on Thanksgiving to watch this film. So you must be pretty thrilled about it.
I am. My family's coming, everybody from different parts are going to come to the house. We're all going to watch together in front of a fire and just have a good time.
Well, that's wonderful. And I want also to mention about your philanthropy and about how you are working so hard to ensure that people have books to read. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, the Wish You Well Foundation, my wife and I founded it about 16 years ago. We have evolved now into a foundation that really supports life skills, including literacy skills across the spectrum. We want to empower people so they can realize their full potential, give them the skills they need to succeed in life, support themselves and their family. We just had a board meeting about 3 weeks ago. We funded over $350,000 in grants to over 20 organizations, 15 or 16 different states. We'll continue to do that. We've put millions of dollars of our money into this, and we feel it's money well spent because it impacts positively many, many lives and helps people lift themselves up and become self-sustaining.
It's a beautiful thing that you are doing, and I know, of course, part of the process is that you have given away a million books already.
Almost 2 million books now with our Feeding Body and Mind program. We collect those at my book signings, and we distribute those through food banks across the United States. That's another element of what we do with the foundation that's been very successful.
Well, I think that is so wonderful, and it is so important. Well, as I said when I interviewed you about Vega Jane, that I think it's so important that really great writers write books for children, because if we get them to start reading when they're young, they will continue reading. And there is nothing more wonderful if you go to a senior's home and you look around and you find the people who are reading. Those are the people who are the most vigorous, the most alive, the most happy, because they have this ability to read. And this is a lifelong gift that you give to people.
Well, thank you. Continue to do it.
So I'm just always thrilled to talk to you. I know that it's always exciting when a book comes out, and I know that you probably have a lot of things happening this week. But again, I want to thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper. You are, always a wonderful guest, and I'm always so excited when you come on, and so are my listeners, because they always contact me. Oh, when is he coming on? So David Baldacci, you have a wonderful website too. It's called davidbaldacci.com. What else? And there are lots of nice and fascinating things on there, and including they have a photo gallery. And what else?
Yeah, there's everything you really need to know about me is on there. The books, film projects I'm involved in, lots of stuff we do around the world, a lot of photos. So it's a fun site to be.
Exactly. So everybody can go to davidbaldacci.com, and they can find the new book, also Endgame, at wherever books are sold. It's going to be right up front there in every bookstore, and it's available at Barnes & Noble and Amazon. And David, I want to thank you so much for being on Joy on Paper today.
Thank you very much. I enjoyed it.
Okay. And if you ever want to do a promo for your Wish You Well Foundation, I would be happy to run it for you right here on Joy on Paper. So just contact me, and we will do a promo for you, okay?
Excellent. I appreciate that very much. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye now. Wow. Okay. Well, that's exciting. I hope that you will get this book. It's, as I said, my gosh, The Body Count. We will talk about action. If you like books with action, there's plenty of action in this book, and it's called The Endgame. So, what else today? Oh, I cannot believe it. What day of the week is it even? It's Thursday. Okay. I just want to tell everybody, this is a week before Thanksgiving, my next Thursday. And it is the time of the year that you should be thankful for everything that you have and thankful to everyone that you have in your life, because you never know what is going to happen. And you never know who's going to be here for this Thanksgiving and who's going to be here for the next one. So take time and just, get over any problems in your family. I was listening to some people talking recently, and they were talking about how they're fighting with their sister, they're fighting with their brother, they're fighting with their mother, get over it. It's time to get over it. This is the time to be thankful. And that reminds me too, if you want to really, I wanted to mention this book, and you still have time to order this one too. It's called Thankful by Eileen Spinelli. It is a delightful book, another book that you would really want to have at your table at Thanksgiving time. It's a children's book, a picture book. And so if you have any children at your dining table on Thanksgiving, this is a wonderful book to share, and you have time to order it on Amazon or Barnes & Noble, and it's called Thankful by Eileen Spinelli, who is a wonderful author, and she's going to be on the program in December along with her husband, Jerry Spinelli. The two of them have written dozens and dozens of delightful children's books, and so I'm looking forward to having her on. So that's another book that you should get, and as I said, just be thankful for everything that you have, And I want to say a special hello to my goddaughter, Katie Price. You are out there, and I am looking forward to hearing from you, because I know that you are working on NaNoWriMo this month. And for everybody who is involved in NaNoWriMo, I want to say keep up the good work, and you will be a winner by the end of the month. You will be able to be a winner and claim your T-shirt, and which you can then wear whenever you go traveling around, and you will be sure to run into somebody else who has participated in the National Novel Writing Month of November. And also in November, I want to remind you that you still have time to enter Regina Brooks' Young Adult Contest, Young Adult Fiction Contest. And it's a wonderful opportunity, because you do not have to write a query letter. And for many of you who hate query letters, this is a great opportunity. All you have to do is submit your first 250 words to Regina Brooks' contest, and you will find the details at her webpage, which is called serendipitylit.com. She has one of the best literary agencies in New York. Absolutely fabulous woman who really has a great eye for books. And I can tell you, if you can wow her with 250 words, you will be a winner. So I want to, again, everybody go there. It's Serendipity Lit. And you might win. Why not? Try it. It'll cost only $15 to enter. And again, it's something that will spur you on. Because remember, one of the joys of life is to see your words on paper, or to hear them spoken in an audible book, or maybe on stage, or if you are really, really lucky, someday in a movie. So get out there and write, and just enjoy yourself. It's going to be a busy weekend, I'm sure, everybody getting ready for Thanksgiving. And just remember to be thankful, because that's what we're all about here, and being thankful, and to find the joy in life, and certainly to find the joy on paper. So it's up to you to do so. And meanwhile, while you're doing it, just say something nice to somebody, because the minute you start saying something nice to somebody, it makes you feel better. Even if no one says anything nice to you all day, if you know that you've said something nice to somebody, you feel better about it. So that's all I can say to you, because I'm going to say something nice to Big Ed in the control room. He was so sweet. He put up my sign today, and he got all of my things that I needed, and I want to thank him so much. And he's going to salute me, and I'm saluting him. And just have a wonderful weekend. Bye-bye now.